I'm going to invite you to take your pink insert from the bulletin out. And we started Galatians last week. Anne was preaching from Galatians chapter 1. And you'll notice in this handy dandy handout that you have portions of Galatians 1, Galatians 2 on that front left hand inside cover, and then our passage for the day, a portion from Galatians 3. And so we wanted you to have that in your hand because this is a letter. And sometimes when we read our Bibles, we forget that Galatians was a letter. And that Paul was writing to one of the churches that he founded, one of the churches that he had compassion and care for, and during his first missionary journey would have been a really important part of being the formation piece in this church. But then he hears in around 49 CE that the Galatians have done what humans so often do, is in the midst of freedom and the Spirit and God doing this new work, they started putting extra rules into place to hem in the Spirit. That things maybe were getting feeling out of control, and so as humans often do when things get out of control, they bring in rules, policies, procedures to make sure everything gets right again. And so these Jewish-influenced Christians would have probably done what they do best, is go back to following rules. And so in light of that, Paul writes a letter. And so maybe even in the weeks ahead, you might use this letter as devotional reading. Maybe once or twice a week, you just pick up this letter and maybe read a portion. And try to get your mindset and heart set into that place of reading and receiving this as a letter. So I've done some editorial little inserts in that first paragraph to the churches of Baptistia, just to make it a little more personal. The church of Galatia, the middle region of Turkey, is a long ways from us. But maybe if you insert us in there, it might bring this letter home a little closer. So recall, Paul converted in approximately 33 CE, and then for 17 years he's traveling and planting churches and getting his mind blown by how the Spirit wants all people, Jews and Gentiles, all people to be a part of the reign of God. And so he's heard about this church in Galatia. He's been a part of its formation. But then he's also heard that they are turning into rule keepers rather than people keepers. So he grabs his quill and he starts this letter. And it's a bit different than some of his other letters that start out very encouraging. And, oh, I love how you're doing and you're so devoted in your faithfulness. This one has a bit of that. But it's a bit lean on that, and it's more heavy on just getting to the facts. We read the first paragraph, Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Grace, peace, Paul says, amen. But then he drops the boom fairly quickly. He says, I am astonished. I am astonished that you've turned to a different gospel, a contrary gospel, a human origins gospel. And I want to talk a bit more. Bellamy talked about this last week, about saying no other gods, no other gospel. And I want to touch on that for a moment because in this day and age, sometimes when people say a contrary gospel, they say it's because you've moved the gospel from maybe what Billy Graham shared in the 50s or what Bill Bright might have said in the 60s about making sure that you follow the four spiritual laws and accept Jesus into your heart. Now, that could be part of the gospel and is part of the gospel, but when Paul writes of a contrary gospel, he's not just saying something that's changed in the last 50 years. What Paul is saying, and what he's telling the Galatians and us as modern-day hearers of this letter, is that the gospel is not what you can do in your own strength. The gospel is not you trying harder to please God, but the gospel is keeping in step with the Spirit. And so he writes about the true gospel. He says, don't desert the one who called you by grace. How many times do we see the word grace, even in the first three pages of this letter? Don't seek human approval. Seek God's approval. Remember, God set you apart even before you were born. And maybe he's even harking to Psalm 139 in this phrase. He called you through his grace, and God is pleased to reveal Jesus to you. I want to jump ahead, so open to section 2, the inner section of today's insert. It starts, but when Cephas came to Antioch. Now, interestingly enough, the Bible didn't get chapter and verses until probably 1200 CE. So for 1,000 years or more, they really read this as a letter. It wasn't split up into parts even. And in worship services, the early church would have pulled out one of Paul's letters and read it from beginning to end, all in the course of their worship time together. So we have these helps, but lest we forget, this is a human addition, the chapters. In part 2, he tells the story of Cephas, Peter, who we know, Peter, the one who denied Jesus 3 times and then was reinstated by Jesus after breakfast on that shoreline post-resurrection. And he tells the story of Peter, who had such a great run of being generous and putting the heart of Jesus on display through hospitality and generosity, but he hears that Peter has lost his bearings. Peter used to eat with Gentiles. That's the heart of Jesus, a table that's open to sinners, to tax collectors. But he's heard that Peter got swayed by James. And he's also led Barnabas astray. So a lot can happen in 15 or 20 years in the Christian journey. And maybe that's a good pause for us. In our last 15 years of being a Christian, have we become broader and more generous with the heart of Jesus? Or have we become narrower and a little more careful about who gets in and who should be out? Paul writes, they were not acting consistently with the truth of the gospel. Basically saying they were setting their hearts on boundaries and fear versus radical hospitality and hope. He writes, if we build up the very things that we once tore down, we sin. Paul says, we died to rules so that we might live to God. And then that famous passage in Galatians chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. Christ being formed in us. Put on your crash helmet, this new creation, Jesus on the loose, forming Christ in us, inviting us to put Christ's heart, hospitality, and hope on display. And then part 3. The right-hand side of the inner part of the insert. You foolish, and again, I've done a little editorial, Baptists. Who tricked you? You've fallen for the oldest trick in the book, trying to encounter and experience God's favor and blessing by your works versus receiving it and pouring it out as a gift of God, a gift of grace. Paul says, tell me this, did you receive the Spirit by doing righteous works? Or did you receive the Spirit by believing what you heard about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? So why be so foolish? You started with the Holy Spirit, and now are you ending in the power of your own strength and insights? And if Paul could scream, he'd go, no! And that might be written in the early manuscript margins. This is the stuff that we've been talking about and hearing since the stories of Abraham. Don't you get it? Just as Abraham believed God, so whoever believes in God, whether they be Jew or Gentile, they get in on the blessing. In Abraham's day, the gospel went like this. All the Gentiles shall be blessed in you. And then the final mind-blowing comments. He says, the lunchroom supervisor has left the building. Or the disciplinarian has left. The word for disciplinarian in the Greek was pedagogos, which was like the slave tutor in your house who maybe walked the child to school but didn't really do any of the teaching, but got him or her there for the real encounter. And so I don't know if you have slaves in your house, but I don't. So I kind of had to go to lunchroom supervisor, or better yet, detention room supervisor during the lunch hour, who watched over you and kept you in check so that you could do what you needed to do, but really wasn't the best part of your school encounter. And so you were kept in check for a little while until you could get to the real thing. Maybe it was your favorite class, or maybe your favorite teacher, or just being with your friends hanging around your locker and shooting the breeze. Paul says we are no longer subject to the disciplinarian. This is good news. This is freedom. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Through your baptism, through the Christ life being formed in you, new creation, the old distinctions have fallen away. It's not a matter of religious status or social status or class division or gender. New creation. He writes, all of you are one in Christ Jesus, and if you belong to Christ, then you are the children of Abraham, and you have inherited the promise of being named and destined as a child of God. And isn't this good news for us today? Nothing separates us from the love and hospitality heart of our gracious God. Everyone gets in. And even when we come to the table of our Lord, we are all welcome to feast and fellowship with the living Christ today. And that's why it's so great to have the children with us soon serving communion. I don't know what your upbringing was like, but I grew up at First Baptist Church, Lethbridge. And in the late 70s, we had this rule that on Communion Sundays, during the communion hymn, if you were not a member, then during the communion hymn, you could leave, because you weren't welcome to participate in the elements of the table. And so my dad wasn't a member. And my sister and I have this theory of that's why he sat so close to the back when he did come to church. Because on communion Sundays, he had to leave during the communion hymn. Or you just kind of abstained. And we also had this interesting thing going on that in our church directory, if you were a member, your name was underlined. And if you weren't a member, your name wasn't underlined. And so you just quickly go through the directory and decide who's in and who's out. Aren't we glad that some of those Baptist culture rules got blown away by the Spirit in the last 30 years? Raise your hand and say amen if that makes you glad. If that doesn't make you glad, don't admit it, because maybe you're in the wrong church. So it made me think, maybe in 2016 at First Baptist Edmonton, are there unwritten rules that we have? Or maybe there are certain rules that we have written that maybe the Spirit needs to blow away. And might we be that kind of church that is in step with the Spirit, listens to the Spirit, follows a true gospel that welcomes, that reduces barriers rather than builds barriers to people who want to come to faith, to people who want to encounter this living Christ that we love and believe and proclaim week after week here in this place. The disciplinarian has left the building. Christ is making his home amongst us. So Lord willing and Spirit inspiring, may Christ continue to make his home amongst us. Let us not be bewitched. Let us be beholden to the amazing, ridiculous, outlandish love of our Almighty God. For we are all children of God through faith. We are all one in Christ Jesus. The preacher Carol Holtz Martin reflects on this text and puts it in the following way. Paul says that Christ alone matters. Christ our unity. Christ our focus. Christ the line of energy along with relationships run. Christ the beginning and the end. Christ the cause for which we live. Christ from which nothing can take us, not even death. So come. On Communion Sunday, come to the table of our Lord and feast with this kind of Christ. And may his feast of grace and fullness and hospitality and hope fill us. May this feast renew our hearts, soften our hearts, transform our hearts, so that we might be the people of God who bless not only this community of believers, but we go out and bless the world.